Hello and welcome. We're back. And this evening, we're going to jump into sole proprietorships, partnerships, and franchises. There are three more types of business organizations that we need to learn about. Next week, we jump into the warm waters of corporations, which are even more exciting. Last week, we discussed the principles of business organizations, those eight major principles, which you should commit to memory because they kind of help build the understanding of the class. We talked about the nature of business organizations. Remember, you have the very nimble, small, Mini Cooper of sole proprietorships, fuel efficient, scootable, can go any place, very easy to operate, and not expensive. Then you have a midsize, which is the partnership. It's a little bit bigger, a little bit more versatile, a little bit more expensive, and a little bit more powerful than a sole proprietorship because you have help, you have partners. And we're going to discuss that tonight. Then you have the corporation. The Hummer, the big, powerful, gas-guzzling corporation, which is amazingly popular, amazingly expensive, and amazingly powerful. We're going to talk about those next week. Starting that, we're going to do several weeks of corporations. But remember those analogies because they help you. Last time, we also spoke about agency. Remember, agency is the fundamental tool that all business organizations use because it's the power behind all these business organizations. It's how these tasks get done. You have retain an agent and they'll do it. Particularly with partnerships and with corporations, they can't operate at all without agents. Partnerships, your partners are your agents. And with a corporation being an artificial person under the law, they need human beings to operate. So the individual human beings become their agents. We also talked last time about employment law. Employees are important too. And remember, an employee and an agent can have a lot of crossover. Agents are frequently paid, but don't have to be. Remember our Murillo case. Employees always have to be paid. Why? Because otherwise they're a volunteer. They're not an employee. Okay. We're going to jump into tonight. We're going to talk about the forms of business organization and sole proprietorships first. Then we're going to talk about partnerships, then franchises. Then we're going to jump into our case of Conjeal. And that case is all about the law of partnerships. It helps kind of bring things to light. So let's jump on forward into forms of business organization. This provides you a little bit of an overview. What, when we talk about, this is a class in the law of business organizations, what is a business organization? And remember the car analogy. It's the vehicle by which you do business. The first one, and we're going to talk about this tonight, is sole proprietorships. That's easy. Sole proprietorships is you want to start a business, you just go out and do it. It's all about you. And we're going to get to that in depth in a moment. Then you have partnerships. You want to expand. You want to get bigger. You need help in your management. So you take out a partner. That's a partnership. You have two or more people operating to conduct a business for profit. That's what that's about. If you want to get bigger still and you have more things to do, the most powerful entity on earth is the corporation. It's an artificial person under the law. It too is created solely for the purpose of operating a business for profit. And it has with it a number of things that partnerships and sole proprietorships don't have. First and foremost, limited liability. Because it's an artificial person under the law, it's a step away from the owners. And it has centralized, specialized management. You have shareholders. You have, above the shareholders, you have the directors who are elected by the shareholders. It's a form of Republican small r government, whereby the shareholders elect directors to make the policy. Then the directors hire the officers, who are a specialized segment of employees, to run their corporation for them, to carry out their tasks. And then those officers hire the rest of the employees who will do the work of the corporation. It's got that management structure, and it's a step away from the shareholders, who are the owners. The owners do not manage the corporation. Unlike the partnerships and unlike the sole proprietorships, where the owners do manage the corporation, they do manage the business organization, in a corporation, they don't. They're step away. The directors make the policy, and then the officers implement that. Then you have a limited liability company, rather new business organization, created starting 1994, whereby, because corporations have gotten so expensive to own and operate, the legislature in the state of New York decided to create a more simplified business organization and a less expensive one, where they basically married the attributes of a corporation together with a partnership. And they call that a limited liability company. And you don't have the levels of management that you do in a corporation. The shareholders, which are called members, manage the LLC. So it's a different format. It's more simplified. It's more compressed. That's why we say it's like a corporation and a partnership had a baby, because it's got many of the elements of both. And the principal element it has that a partnership does not is limited liability. And that's a beautiful thing. You have other business organizations which are much looser, joint ventures, unincorporated associations, cooperatives, and franchises. They're really not organizations. I know the title there says they are, but what they are is ways that people will operate without those formal structures, without the sole proprietorship, without the partnership, without the corporation, without the limited liability company. And they don't have the attributes of the other ones. We're going to talk about franchises in specific tonight. The four principal forms of business organization as a result are sole proprietorships that we're going to talk about tonight, partnerships that we're going to talk about tonight, corporations, which we'll start talking about next week, and LLCs. The selection of the form of organization that you decide on when you want to operate a business depends on the nature of the business, the tax consequences, the financial resources and risk, the importance of limited liability to you, and the extent of management control that you want. The newly created form of business, the LLC, allows for tax treatment as a partnership or as a corporation. You get to elect that. And it has some degree of limited liability. It's a great form of business, particularly for small business, because what it does is it reduces the expense and the arduousness, and it is expensive and difficult, of a corporation. Okay. An unincorporated association is an organization, a club or a group. They enter into an agreement as volunteers. They form this organization to try and accomplish a purpose. It's not really an entity. It's a group of people getting together to do something. Cooperatives just are a joint venture. It's another form of that, where two or more persons or enterprises, frequently this is done in agriculture, cooperate to achieve a common objective. It is not really a form of business organization. And everyone has a right to free association under the United States Constitution with who to associate and work. But that doesn't mean you have a legally protected business organization. You don't. The fact that you're working with somebody else doesn't mean that you have those laws to protect you. And remember, what is rule number one of our principles of business organization? The business organizations are a creature of law. And there's no law that protects an unincorporated association by its very nature. There is no law with that. So if you want the law to protect you, you either go with partnership, corporation, or LLC. A sole proprietorship, as you'll see in a minute, has very little foundation in law. It's just you doing a business by yourself. And there are entities which you can use or strategies that you can use to be able to protect yourself, such as insurance. But at the end of the day, unincorporated associations and sole proprietorships don't have that foundation in law that partnerships, LLCs, and corporations do. Okay, let's move on. We are going to start in the very beginning. Why? It's a very good place to start. As Mary Poppins would say, the nature of sole proprietorships. So you want to start a business. What's the easiest way to start it? How do you get hit the ground running on day one? You start your own business, a sole proprietorship. We're going to talk about definitions and meanings and formation. How do you create a sole proprietorship? It's the easiest business to create, and it's the easiest business to terminate. We're going to talk about its operations, the advantages and disadvantages, and a certain moniker that you can add to it, which is known as a doing business as or a DBA, which is a local moniker you can add for a small cost that basically keeps your name of the business protected. We'll get to that shortly. Okay, so you want to start a business. You always had to have business in heart. You want to do that. We're going to discuss the first possibility. How do you do this right out of the box? Well, as you can see from my waistline, I'm a fan of eating. I've always wanted to start a business. Let's start Bob's Donuts. Donuts are inherently unhealthy, but they're yummy. So let's start a business of Bob's Donuts. It's a sole proprietorship. It's all in my mind. I want to start a business. What exactly is this sole proprietorship that we want to start? It's a form of business ownership in which one individual, only one, owns the business. The owner may be the sole worker of the business, or they may employ as many others as they want to run it. That being said, you only have one owner and only one person run and operate the business. That one person, that sole proprietor, is the head of all the business. He employs or she employs all the people. Now, can she employ people as managers of other employees? Sure. But it's up to that sole proprietor to pick those people, and they're going to run and make all the rules of the business. Sole proprietorships are commonly used in retail stores, service businesses, agriculture, everything that you might imagine. It is the most prominent form of business. It's the easiest to start and the easiest to end. So when you want to start Bob's Donuts, and who do you think is going to be the head of that? Bob. You know, when you are the head of things, you can call it anything you want. If Cynthia wants to start a business, she can call it Cynthia's something. Sole proprietorships, as we say in our principal business organizations, are the easiest and most prominent form of ownership. 3/4 of all businesses out there operate in that form. Why? It's easy to start and easy to end. A lot of control. The owner gets complete control, and owners like that. They also have complete liabilities. They're not much on that. So what is a sole proprietorship? What are the elements of a sole proprietorship? It's a business established, owned, and controlled, the management, by a single person. They come in all shapes and sizes. They can be a $1 billion business, or they can operate on a shoestring. The lemonade stand you started as a kid was a sole proprietorship. Why? Because you controlled it all. The owner of a sole proprietorship realizes all the profits and assumes all the losses and responsibility for those losses. It's the most prominent of the 4 forms of ownership. Most prominent meaning most businesses are organized that way. It's an easy way to start. There's very few legal qualities required. How do you form it? You just do. There's not a lot of legal hoops you got to jump through. Of the 4 forms of ownership, the sole proprietorship is the easiest form to start. The government exercises very little control of the establishment of new sole proprietorships. Why? As the sole proprietor, you're the one that's legally responsible. That means all the taxes get paid by you. All the employees get paid by you. All the paperwork has to be done by you for the employees. So if you have to fill out tax forms for your employees, if you have to document the fact that they are getting taxes taken out of their income, it's on you as the sole proprietor to do all that. When the business goes to pay taxes from the profits it realizes, it's on your tax return, sole proprietor. Startup is immediate and very simple. Bob's Donuts. We open a place that says Bob's Donuts. It's as easy as that. Now, in order to preserve that name, we may want to get a doing business as application, and in the county, we'll talk about that shortly. And if you are doing a business that is required for a license or a permit, let's say you're a realtor. Well, guess what? You need to be licensed by the state of New York, so you have to have that license. Certain businesses require permits. If you are opening a Bob Donut, you have to have the local health department come in and make sure that your business is clean and meets all the health requirements of a food establishment, a restaurant. So as a result of that, you have to have that documentation from the health department that they've reviewed it and that it is very clean and tidy and meets all the health requirements, particularly in this day and age of COVID. People have to put on the masks. They have to sanitize their hands, wash their hands frequently. You have to have that social distancing going on. But even absent all those special rules, you need to follow whatever regulations of the business that you're operating. That's irregardless of the form. It doesn't matter whether you're a partnership or a corporation. Any business dealing with food has to have the regulation of the health department. Bob's Donuts deals with food. So how does Bob form the sole proprietorship? He goes out and buys a building, buys a bucket of paint, and paints Bob's Donuts on the side. Hires some people who know how to bake donuts. Buys a fry-a-later. You need a fry-a-later, a big metal contraption that will fry donuts. I buy it. I own it. I have to buy countertop space to be able to have customers come in there. And I have to buy glass cases so you can see the yummy donuts that we make. I have to buy the different kinds of ingredients, the chocolate glaze you put on top of them, the flour that you make. I have to own all of that. I have to buy all of that. That's how I start the business. I buy all those materials. I hire someone to help me. I'm going to hire a baker who knows how to bake the donuts. I'm going to hire a donut finisher who's going to frost them and do things to make them look pretty and attractive. I'm going to hire someone who's going to interact with the people, a waitress or a service person, who's going to be able to take them out of the case and serve them, put them in the box, and give them to them. I will do all of that as the sole proprietor. Now, when you operate a sole proprietor, sole proprietors make all the decisions. If I only want to hire people whose first name is Bob, I can do that. Why? Everybody who works in Bob's Donuts' name is Bob. I could do that if I wanted to. Remember going back to last week's lecture on employment. We are employment at will state in New York State. I can hire or fire anyone for any reason so long as it's not an illegal reason. It's not an illegal reason to discriminate against everybody whose name is not Bob. That's fine. The law allows that. So everybody who works for Bob's Donuts got to be named Bob or not. I can turn around and say, you know, I only want to have people who have a rather large waistline, because when people come in, they'll be comfortable with them. I could do that. Why? Because it's not an illegal reason. Waistline size is not a protected class. Skinny or fat, doesn't matter. I could make that decision. The assets of sole proprietorships are not legally separate from the business. So when I buy that fry-a-later, it's my property. If I decide to take it home for a backyard barbecue, I can do it. It's mine. I own it. Similarly, if I want to bring in stuff from home, you know, I understand that the people who are making the donuts are there late at night and want to watch the World Series. So I put a TV in the back of the shop so that people can watch the World Series while they're making the donuts, because I want my employees to be happy. I can turn around and put in a audio system so we can play cool tunes and dance while we are serving the donuts. I can do any of that. That's up to me. I run the shop. It's all my management decisions. And as the owner, I have to report all the business income. I have to keep all the books. And I have to fill out all the tax returns. That's my obligation. Now, when I pay an employee, they're responsible for paying their own taxes on their own income. I just give them a paycheck. But I have to withhold those taxes under state and federal law. When you're a sole proprietor, all the assets and liabilities of the business are the assets and liabilities of the owner. What are the advantages of a sole proprietorship? And there's many. First and foremost, they're simple. I just do it. Sole proprietorships are simple to start. There's no formal action to take. If I want to make a beautiful sign that says Bob's Donuts, I can do it. If I want to go out there with a bucket of paint and paint it myself, I can do it. It's all up to me. A sole proprietorship can be started immediately. There's no delay. I don't have to turn around and say, you know, I can only start this on May 25th. No, I can start it any time, any hour. It's all up to me. It's when I want to do things. The owner has total control of all aspects. I hire every employee. I fire every employee. I hire people to hire and fire the employees. Everything is up to me. I make all the rules. And as a result of that, it's very nimble and easy to change. If one day I come in and I say, you know, people are being more healthy. I want to make a broccoli donut. Now, I would think that that'd be pretty yucky. But if I want to advance the health of society, it's my business. I can do it all. So I can make Bob's special broccoli donut, which nobody's going to want to eat, but I can make it. It's up to me. It's my choice. It's nimble. It's easy to change for the good and for the bad. As the owner, I receive all the profits and I have to pay all the bills. So any benefit of this business comes down to the things that I do. It's all up to me. The business itself pays no income tax. If you start a partnership or a LLC or a corporation, that business is going to pay income tax. But guess what? You don't as a sole proprietorship. It's Bob who pays the income tax because all the income that comes in is mine. So I fill out the tax return. The owner pays the income tax as an individual on their individual return. It's got a lot of advantages. First and foremost is simplicity. Second, remember that Mini Cooper? It's nimble, easy to change on a fly. If all the other donut shops in town are making this tri-folded donut, I can make one too. I can make a quad-folded donut, which is better. It's up to Bob. It's Bob's Donuts. Now, what are the disadvantages of a sole proprietorship? Does not have limited liability. Unlike a corporation or an LLC, somebody slips and falls on Bob's Donuts landing, they will sue Bob. They're not going to sue the business. The business is not separate from Bob. And as a result, it has no liability protection. Now, you can buy insurance for that, but insurance has limits and it is an expensive cost. It does not have limited liability. And as a result, the owner is solely liable for all financial losses. If I have a partnership, I get to share those losses with a partner. Also have to share all the gains. But as a sole proprietor, I am responsible for all the financial losses, for all the damages. All comes out of my personal assets. And because the owner has total control of all aspects of the business, they are the only ones making the decision. You may think that that's an advantage, and it can be, but it's also a disadvantage. You don't get the variety of ideas because it's one person. Sometimes multiple people running an organization can have multiple ideas, and some of them can be really good. If the sole proprietor knows all, then it's great. But if they don't know all and they think they do, it can be a disaster. The owner is solely responsible for all capital expenses. They can go out and get loans and they can go to a bank, but they're subject to whatever financial resources either they have or that they can raise. When you have a corporation, you can go out to shareholders and you can sell stock to raise capital expenses. You can't do that on a sole proprietorship. It's whatever money is in Bob's pocket. And once again, the business pays no income tax, but the owner has to pay that income tax on his own. If the owner pays all the income tax, she's the one solely responsible for it and has to come out of her pocket. Now, what about a DBA? I want to build a brand. I want people to think of Bob's Donuts as the yummiest donuts in the history of the universe. So I want everybody to know that when you go to Bob's Donuts, you're going to get a quality product for an affordable price and come away satisfied. So I'm going to put a lot of effort in that business to build my brand. And that brand is Bob's Donuts, because I'm Bob. Kind of like Bob's Furniture. You ever seen that on TV? Well, Bob's Donuts wants to do the same thing. But in order to protect that name, what's there to stop someone with a sole proprietorship from opening up a Bob's Donuts on their own? If a Bob McGillicuddy wants to start a business or a Bob Jackson, they can do that. It's their name. So how do I prevent other Bob's Donuts? Well, I can only do this county by county. I can form what is known as a DBA. I file a form with the county clerk in whatever county I want to operate in. And for paying a small fee, it's usually around $25, I get to have that DBA name, doing business as name, Bob's Donuts, reserved. And that DBA application allows me to say no other business in that county can be called Bob's Donuts. Now, that has limitations. I'll give you an example. If another Bob, Bob McGillicuddy or Bob Jackson, wants to create a Bob's Wonderful Donuts, I can't enforce that on my DBA. I can only do Bob's Donuts because that's what name I have reserved. Now, can I reserve other names? Yeah, but I got to pay a fee for every name that I want to reserve. So if I only reserve Bob's Donuts, Bob's Wonderful Donuts, or Bob's Really, Really Yummy Donuts, guess what? They can start those businesses unless I have a DBA. But that DBA helps me, as a sole proprietorship, keep the value of my brand and my name. If I start an LLC or if I start a corporation, guess what? Those names are protected and reserved, because part of creating the LLC or the corporation is that I have to reserve a name. So if I have Bob's Donuts Inc. as a corporation, no other corporation can have that name. So I can stop them. I don't need to go through the DBA form. But as a sole proprietorship, I'm not a corporation and I haven't reserved a name, so I have to file this DBA. It's a way you protect your brand. The formation of a sole proprietorship is the easiest to form. It's also the easiest to terminate and to dissolve. Why? Just don't want to do it anymore. It's all my equipment. It's all my property. I am the one who hires all the employees. I can terminate them all. The government, just like the issue of formation, provides very little ability or restrictions on terminating a sole proprietorship. Why? It's all about one person. They can't tell him he's got to operate his business. She doesn't have to continue. Why? Because it's all about that person. So the government exercises very little control over the termination or dissolution of the sole proprietorship. As all business property is deemed of the sole proprietorship, they just take that property with them when the business goes. They could sell it. They could keep it. They could give it away. Anything they want to do. All contracts and legal obligations are those of the owner. So there's no distribution or liability sharing. It's all the owner. Easy to form, easy to terminate. That's it on sole proprietorships. Next time, we're going to move into the wonderful world of partnerships. See you shortly. Thanks so much for joining.